Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to another hour of Tribal Wisdom by Bridal Tribe. I am your host, Cynthia Williamson, and hey, happy Wedding Wednesday. It is that time again to sit down and talk about all the things that we love to discuss concerning love, weddings, marriage, and family. Tonight's show is about really getting down to business. You know, we've decided to make January our month about getting down to business, since this is the time of year where everyone wants to start resolutions and all those kinds of things. We like to make sure that we give you enough information. So we're talking about starting a business. If you are a crafty person, if you have a home-based business, or you're looking to start a home-based business, tonight's show, or actually this whole month, this show is about you. Last week, we had the pleasure of talking with Lakeisha Womack of the Womack Consulting Group about money matters when it comes to putting your business together and putting things in order. It was an excellent show. We had a wonderful time. Of course, you can always go and listen to it in the archives of our Blog Talk Radio page. And then, of course, tonight, we're going to be talking about turning your passion into profits. We are talking with Pashe Burston, everyone. I'm so happy to have her on the show tonight. She is the founder and creative director of Unique You Jewelry. Now, you'll be able to find her page on Facebook. Please go on over and like it and see a couple of the pieces, the wonderful, beautiful pieces that she has made. And I will be posting them into the event tonight as well. I'm trying to see if I'm forgetting to make an announcement about anything else that we have going on, but you know what? That can absolutely wait. I see that we have Pashe on the line, and we're going to just bring her in, and we're going to have her introduce herself and say hello to you guys. Hey, Pashe.
Hi, how are you? Hi, everybody.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Now, I see you got your peppermint tea on deck, too.
I do. It's the best thing to have at the end of the night, I tell you.
It really is. It relaxes me as much as I could be possibly relaxed. But and it's just tasty. It's tasty. Just get it tasty.
There you go.
Now, tell our listeners a little bit about you.
Well, I am 29 years old, mother of three, basically engaged to be married. Coming up very, very soon. I'm a pretty creative person, so I do pretty much anything creative. I love art, so I love painting. I do photography. I'm also a writer. I make jewelry. I pretty much do it all. I have a blog that I try to keep updated as often as possible. I started writing on affirmations, and I share them now. So pretty much anything where my hands and my mind can work together, I'm all for it.
Right, because I also saw that you have body butters.
Yeah, I do. I do make natural beauty products, too. So I do body butters, bath salts, eye balms. I started doing soy candles. That came before the jewelry actually started, which, you know, as I mentioned in my press kit before, I kind of came upon it. I literally was going to the craft store to get something to make for an order, and I ended up in the jewelry section, and it was weird to me, and I was looking around, and I was like, well, if you put that together and that together, oh, that would be awesome. And next thing you know, I'm making jewelry, and the natural beauty products are kind of taking a sideline. And then I just started researching the gemstones that I was using and the purpose of them and what they represented and the properties, whether they're healing or protection or love or guidance. And next thing you know, it blows up into this full-fledged business.
Well, now clearly that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, because there are a lot of entrepreneurs or budding entrepreneurs out there who are wondering how it is that happens for you. How did it become this explosive business of Unique You Jewelry? So Let's talk about your journey a little bit. Now, you've already let us know that you started with, you know, you love being creative, you love being crafty, mm-hmm. you started with body yeah. butters and everything else. But when it comes to turning your passion into profits, what are some of the steps that you have taken in order to make your business what it is today?
I think the first thing you have to, that I know for me personally, the first thing I had to realize was if I was going to turn this into a business, I had to have a business mindset. Mm-hmm. And everyone kept saying, oh, well, you know, you could just, you know, go to craft shows and things like that. But I kind of wanted to do more than just a craft. Mm-hmm. So I ended up doing a lot of research, thank God for Google and bookstores, because I spent a lot of time online researching running an online business and opening up an online storefront and mm-hmm. writing a business plan, which was probably the one thing that I said I don't want to do, because mm-hmm. it's lofty and it's wordy and it's just so... It's just a bunch of, it kind of takes you out of that passion mode where you're so excited to start something. You're like, oh, now I got to write a business plan. Are you serious? I don't want to do this. But I really had to sit down, and that's the first thing that you have to do. You have to start thinking like a business person. You have mm-hmm. your passion, but when you start earning your own, when you start running your own business, you now have to be, you're not just the creator, you're the creative director, you're doing marketing, you're doing, you know, you're the auditor, you're the accountant, you're everything in your business. So I sat down and I started working on my business plan. With it being an online business, I didn't do too much, I didn't do a detailed business plan, but I knew the basics. I knew the mission. I knew my mission. I knew what the target audience that I wanted to work with, and that was actually thanks to a mentor of mine. She helped me realize my target audience. So I found my target audience. I worked on the different products that I wanted to include, what I wanted to feature. So once you start that, then comes the it's more business. It's okay, now I got to get social media in on it. So now you got to build a Facebook page. You got to have a Twitter. You got to have an Instagram. You have to have all this stuff that maybe you weren't thinking about before, and now it's come. Now it's out there. Now you have to put it all out there because you want your business to grow. You want people to see your wares, and you want them to see what you're capable of doing, and you want them to come to you. So from there, it was business plan, social media, then it was basically the execution phase where I was crunching out at least, you know, 10 to 20 different items a night just mm-hmm. to make sure that I had enough supply on the website. So it is a lot of work, but mm-hmm. if you're truly invested in your passion itself, in your hobby itself, and it becomes like you wake up and that's the first thing that you want to do, and you know that you want to do that, then take the next step further and start doing the research. Your research is definitely important. I still research a lot of stuff now when it comes to the online business, because I want my business to grow. I want it to be bigger than it was last year.
Well, you know what? Let's go down a little bit and backtrack, because you said something that I think needs to be touched on, especially by small businesses. You talked about a mission statement, about knowing what mm-hmm. it is that you're doing and why you're doing it. This was important to you. Why? I mean, it's something that I definitely did for my business, and I know that sometimes you can come across your mission statement before you go into business, or you can come mm-hmm. across your mission statement after you've gone into business while you are actually being service, you know, being in service to people. But yeah. the importance of really having a mission for what it is that you're doing, let's touch on that.
It's, to me personally, I actually discovered my mission after I started the business, and at times I often wish, like, well, I wish, you know, this is something that I would have developed in the beginning before I even started breaking any ground. I wish I would have had this, but better late than never, mm-hmm. because it's just important to have a mission so people, and not even just people, so you also know what you're standing for. I've come to notice that there are a lot of products out there that are being pushed and shoved down our throats, and we really don't know what their mission statement is. Mm-hmm. We don't know what their goal is. We don't know what they're aiming to provide us, not just materialistically, but also in just kind of like a personal emotional feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So I sat down and I thought, well, the name of the brand is Unifu, and it's Japanese for unique.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, I consider myself a unique person. I want to pass that on. I want people to feel not special. I want them to feel unique. If this is given as a gift, I want somebody to know that they purchased it because they believe in this person. They believe that how this person is, they're a beautiful reflection of life.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, that's when I really started honing in on the products that I was making. So now that I'm saying that the business is unique, I'm unique, these products are unique, I started to really look into what I was putting together. It wasn't just stringing beads together and, oh, boom, I got a bracelet. Now it was stringing beads together with a purpose.
Right.
It was stringing them together to mean something. So when you develop your business, you definitely have to think about, okay, well, where do I want to go with this? Not funds, but where do you want to go? Even as a small business, you have to think about social responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Because now these days, everyone's either going green or they're definitely endorsing more natural, holistic type items now. So now you have to think about that. You have to be conscious. If it's not in the forefront, it at least has to be somewhere in the back of your mind. And when you are selling something, be it a product or a service, you do have to think about your social responsibility. So it does have to be included in your mission itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. That does really kind of shape not just what you do in the beginning, but how your business can actually grow and elevate as well. I know, like, for Bridal Tribe, our part of our mission statement is to develop lasting relationships and the fact that we are devoted to love, that we're with the bride from the ring, from the ring to the dress and through the vows. It really does help shape our business as to how we move forward, the things that we want to do, which again is how the radio show came about, because we wanted to definitely do something that was about marriage and family support. So I agree with you there that it does shape what you're doing, how you're doing it, and helps you with your social responsibility. So total agreement there. All right. So we talk a little bit about a mission statement, and I guess I'll start posting exactly what the mission statement is for those who know and even don't know, because sometimes it's something that we should revisit. So after you decided to put your mission statement together, and of course you said it was after business, where did you go from there?
Well, I went from after the mission statement, then it came down to the actual products themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I went from going to the local craft store where they really didn't give me a lot of information about you go into a craft store, you really don't see, when you go into the jewelry section, they've got strings of beads all over the place, but you really don't know what they are. They don't know what they are. You ask them and they have no idea. So I started looking elsewhere, and I started looking online, and I started researching natural gemstones, and I started researching crystals and what Buddha represented and, what different colors represented. And then from there, everything started to kind of piece itself together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I saw, okay, this is unique. Now I'm making jewelry that not only represents an individual, but it also represents something that we often all need or we aspire to obtain in our lives. So be it love, be it opportunity, be it blessing, be it just a general stability or strength that we often require to just get through life every single day, now it was all coming together. So whenever I'm putting a piece together, the first thing I think about is, who is the person that I'm making this for?
Mm-hmm.
Who is the person that's going to be wearing this? So once after the mission statement and the products and everything, it really boils down to just putting everything together and bringing it all together. So even when I'm sharing a new item on social media, I explain what is included in the piece. I explain what, you know, what the gemstone represents, so people have an idea when they see it. They can automatically know somebody that needs that.
Right.
And I've seen it happen so many times, and honestly, it gives me goosebumps when people say, you know, this is just what I needed. This is exactly what I needed right now. And it's such a beautiful thing to be able to, in a way, kind of remind people, like, you're stronger. You are loved. You don't need, you know, you don't need a bracelet, but if this token reminds you to stay strong and to remember that you are loved and to remember that you are prosperous and to remember that you have beautiful opportunities, then so be it. And that's the most beautiful thing is when I hear people say, I loved it, I really needed this right now, I wear it every day. That's honestly more gratifying to me than the dollar signs at the end of the day, because it's so nice to know that there's still people that are just willing to open themselves up and say, hey, I need this.
Right.
Or I know somebody that needs that.
Now, as you're saying that, I think we should definitely make it clear that people go into business to make money. I don't want to, you know, make it seem
yes.
like it's you know, the thank yous are wonderful and the appreciation is wonderful. But if you're going into business, you know, make sure that you do have a solid plan when it comes to
yes.
making a profit, because that is what business is about. You're doing it either to support your family, to support another dream, or to take
mm-hmm.
you from one place to another. Now, we have a question in my inbox that said, is this something that you started while you were working? Because, of course, we have a lot of listeners that are working and they want to launch while they work, or they're going to have
mm-hmm.
to quit. Most times
yeah.
people, you know, they launch while they're still working. What was your experience with that? Or is that something that you are currently doing?
I was actually a stay-at-home mother. So I was
mm-hmm.
actually home taking care of the three kids. And I actually left a job. I literally left a job. I got pregnant with my son with our last child. Got pregnant with him. And I ended up having to leave work because I was sick when I in the beginning it was terrible with him, and I couldn't sit, and my fiance knows this, I just couldn't sit still. I've been working since the age of 13. I lied about my age to get my first job, so
wow.
I was like, I can't just sit. I don't feel right. So I started, you know, it started with the beauty products. I started making them, and then, you know, I realized, okay, this is something that I really enjoy doing. And then, boom, the jewelry hit, and the jewelry hit harder than the beauty products. And I said, you know what, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
this, you know, the, it was like my aha moment. Like, this is exactly what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And just because, you know, just because I was a stay-at-home mother, it was, you know, it wasn't just, oh, I need a little extra money. It was because we have three kids to take care of. You know, my fiance, he's a truck driver, and, you know, there are just days where he might want to take a day off. And, you know, it's nice to have, you know, it's always nice to have two incomes in the household, especially when you have multiple children. So that was very important to me. And I told him, I said, this is my breadwinner. You have
mm-hmm.
yours, you have the truck, but this, you know, this is mine. So anybody that's still working right now, and I have a lot of friends that are launching businesses while they're working, and honestly, it is, you know, it can be very stressful, whether you don't
mm-hmm.
have a job or you do have a job. Starting a business is very stressful because you're doing it on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you have the support of your friends and your family, but initially, you're doing it on your own. And one thing that I can definitely say is that you have to stay encouraged. You're going to have awesome days and you're going to have crappy days. And I can say, you know, I've had many days where I've stayed up till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, had to get back up at 6 to get the kids ready for school, and probably broke down a couple times because I didn't finish something that I was supposed to have done the night before. So Mm-hmm. It's just you have to stay encouraged. You know, you have to stay encouraged. You also have to set goals for yourself. That's one thing mm-hmm. that I started doing when I really started getting heavier into the business was setting goals for myself, setting daily goals and saying, okay, this is what I have to get done today, and this is what can be saved for another day or done by the end of the week. You have to set goals for yourself. One thing that I learned from an individual that I met recently was creating not a vision board but a vision book, which I thought was weird. I was like, why would it be a book? Because, you know, vision board, you can post it, see wherever you want to see it. But
right.
I understood the concept of the book because it's, you know, everyone says every year is a chapter in your life, and it's almost like if you create a vision book for yourself, you can write that chapter where it says, quit my job, launch my business.
Mm.
So, yeah, and the more I sat there and I thought about it, and I think about it all the time, and I see so many creative people working 9-to-5 jobs, and they want to break out, and it's like, set the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Set the goal now.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till the money's right, because that's what we all say. Well, my money's right, that's when I'm going to start doing something.
Mm-hmm.
No, don't wait till the money's right. Start setting the goal and make little steps to reach that goal. If you want to launch your own business, start doing the research. Spend an hour every time you get off of work. That's your homework. Start researching what it takes for you to start breaking ground in your business and go from there.
It's so true. Now, I need to stop for a second because I forgot to give out the number at the beginning of the show. And if you're just tuning in, you are listening to a conversation between myself, Cynthia Williamson of Bridal Tribe, and Pache Burson of Unique You Jewelry. And we're talking about turning your passions into profits. If you would like to join in the conversation, the telephone number is 347-996-3160. Press the number 1 if you want to have a question or make a comment. We are happy to have you in the conversation. But let's get back to it. You know, since that break, everything that you just mentioned is true. I know that I personally go through those times where I'm just done. You know, you can put out a wonderful product, and there are days where I'm just like, you know what, I did it, it's done, I did this wonderful product, mm-hmm. I don't have to do another one right now because I do not want to go through, you know, all those changes again.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you start a business this way, it is a personal thing, and, you know, your name is on it, your stamp is on it, so it mm-hmm. has to be right, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So you go through a lot of changes. So let's talk about what's good about mixing the passion with the profit and what's not so good about your passion and profit working together, because that's something that's an area where I had to really kind of mix and go through and mm-hmm. and have people actually step in and encourage me, because I was like, you know what, look, I did it. I'm done. I'm not doing another one.
See, so, I've been there. I've mm-hmm. been there.
mm-hmm. It's real.
And it is. And mm-hmm. and it's, you know, you can't sugarcoat it. When it comes to turning your passion into a profit, you can't sugarcoat it, because you're going to have those days. It just happens. But as long as you have positive, you know, as long as you have a great support team, then mm-hmm. you can weather those storms that come in. One of the great things about, you know, blending your passion with profit, I think, is that basically you're doing what you love. So when you wake up every day, and I know I can definitely contest to this, I know a lot of other people can too, when you work a 9-to-5 and you don't like the job, when that alarm clock goes off, you don't want to move. You know, in the beginning, it's like, yes, I got a job, I'm working, yeah. 6 months down the line, you're like, oh, God, do I really got to do this? Really? You know, suddenly you want Jesus to be a fence.
Yes,
you want him to be a roadblock or something. So
yeah.
That's definitely the good thing about it, is that you wake up and you're not just okay, you're fabulous. Like, yep, all right, let's get started. The day can begin. I am ready. Woo!
Mm-hmm.
The downside
mm-hmm.
to that. And there's a downside to that, too, is that when you don't have sales.
Yes.
When you
yes.
don't have sales, and you know, and it, and trust me, I've seen it so many times, and I think my fiance's heard me cry about it so many times. Like, nobody's buying anything. Everybody loves it, but nobody's buying anything. Why aren't they buying anything?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know, it could be this, it could be that, and it could be it could be so many things going on in other individuals' lives. So that's the downside of it, is that your passion can sometimes, it can almost deter you when the sales aren't right. Because
mm-hmm.
you're like, my passion is priceless. It's priceless. It is priceless. No
mm-hmm.
one said that it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
No one said that it wasn't, but sometimes money can be a little funny, and it's a slow season.
Right.
It's a slow season, and that is something that I've had to learn. And when it comes to the passion for profit process, I guess, is you have to be confident. And that's one thing that I guess I've actually learned from this, is that you have to be confident in what you put out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because the moment that you start kind of faltering from it, like, oh, well, you know, it's okay, or even the moment that you put a negative comment on social media, because social media is like, it's like world star. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
You
it can work against you. Yeah,
yes.
It can work against you, or it can work for you depending on your attitude and what you're putting out
yes.
there. So that's a whole other subject we're going to touch on about, you know, getting your – you know what I mean? That could be a long
yes.
conversation about being
yes,
on social
could.
Media and your reputation on social media. So finish your thought, and, you know, we're going to get there.
yeah. So, but, I mean, there's – The positive side, you know, with passion and profit is that yes, you are working. You're working in your passion. You're excited about you're excited about getting up to work. You love, you know, it's the feedback that you get. It's the fact that you're making money. I mean, we can't lie about that. You're making money doing something that you love. A downside, you know, the I don't want to call them downsides, but I guess they are considered downsides. The downsides
are
they're right there.
Listen, I know that there's a downside, because I identify it when my spoon is hitting the bottom of the gallon of my butter almond
yeah.
ice cream, you know, and I said gallon.
I did say
gallon. I didn't say pint. I didn't say quart. You have those moments because
like gallon.
Like, I had the gallon, and, you know, you're just kind of, you know, picking away at it, and next thing you know, I'm like, ooh,
it's
wait,
gone.
Is that the bottom? Wait, who did that? Who ate that? That wasn't me.
See, that's how I am with the butter pecan ice cream. So, yeah, I guess that is a great way to describe that. But, yeah, the downside, you know, when you hit that bottom, is that sometimes your passion can work against you, and the sales aren't up, and the hours are longer. That 9-to-5 that you're used to working, now it's 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., you know, and everyone's like, well, I'm so excited I can work for myself, and I can take days off. Sometimes your workload doesn't allow that.
No. Sometimes it does.
Sometimes it doesn't. But the majority of the time, your workload is not going to allow you to take that little break like you want to.
Mm-hmm.
So, but eventually the good does outweigh the bad. It just depends on how bad you want it and how you can overcome those moments when you do hit the bottom of the gallon. Either you go into the refrigerator and get another one,
right.
or you go to the store and get another one, or
right.
you send somebody else to go get you.
Right. Well, you know what?
They can be overcome.
They definitely can. And something you said again earlier, I want to touch on that, because you had a moment of asking yourself, why aren't they buying? Why aren't they coming? What do we do next? How did you approach that? Was there research involved? Did you have to figure out, you know, how to get people to come knocking down your door to ask for your product? Because we always, you know, we always open up something and your friends and family are the first ones to be involved
mm-hmm.
and encourage you. But when they're gone and they're not buying mm-hmm. the product, they're not part of the profit process.
Yeah. So what happens then once the family
Right, they're part of the passion process, but the profit process, you know, they might not be so in tuned with. What mm-hmm. what steps did you take then, or what can you recommend to our listeners to do when it comes to really getting the customers to your door, getting the people to know more about you, who you are, what you're doing, where they can find you, and all of those things?
Okay. Well, after the tears, because there are a lot of tears.
Yes, Kleenex.
And yeah, Kleenex, tissue, whatever, sometimes my hoodie, whatever I can get my hands on, there are a lot of tears. But one thing I can definitely encourage is to get a mentor. And I looked upon my mentor. I was blessed. I was blessed with my mentor. She's a beautiful woman. I actually met her at the Black Women's Expo here in Chicago, and I attended the seminar that she was hosting. And as soon as she spoke, I was in awe. Like, I got goosebumps, and I told my fiance, I said, I need to talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
It just happened, and I hear that so often, that your mentor doesn't come to you. You know, well, your mentor comes to you. You don't request them. They just come to you. I don't know what it is, but I understood it when I met her. Her name is Donna Smith Bellinger, and she's a phenomenal woman. I tell you, I can tell her whole life story because I've heard it that many times, and I love it every time I hear it. But I actually won a one-on-one conversation with her, and I claimed it. I said, I'm going to win that.
Ooh.
I will win that conversation with her. And I claimed it, and as luck would have it, God said, okay, it's yours, and I got it. I spent 1 hour with this woman telling her about my business, telling her about the goals that I had, the ambition that I had, and from that day on, it was like a fire. It was just a fire that's constantly going inside of me. So on those days when I'm just like, okay, no sales, okay, nobody's calling, no custom orders,
mm-hmm.
dang, it's like a ghost town.
mm-hmm.
I've reached out to her, or I look back at the notes that I took from different conversations that I've had with her. Definitely have a mentor. Have
mm-hmm.
a mentor. Have somebody that you can go to when, you know, back to that bottom of the gallon thing, because I love that right now. You reach that bottom, have somebody there that can hand you another one, like, okay, it's not a full gallon, but it's a pint. I hope that does it for you for now.
Right.
And,
right.
you know, it helps. It definitely helps having a mentor. You know, it doesn't mean you call them at every god-awful hour of the day or the night, but it's always nice to have them and take notes. When they're offering you advice and suggestions, take notes. I have notebooks full of notes from her and from other individuals that I've spoken with before that have more experience in this business than I do, and it has helped so much.
Excellent.
Another one that I could definitely suggest is when the sales aren't coming, you can always do more research. It never hurts to do more research as far as your product goes. Sometimes it's not the product itself. Sometimes it's the way that you're marketing it. I learned that I was actually pricing my stuff way off, literally way off. And it took research and a lot of research and a lot of tears, more tears now, to figure that out. Once I figured that out, then I found my target audience. I found my area where I could work with individuals. So if all else fails, go back to the drawing board. Figure out, okay, why isn't this working? It might not be the product itself. It might be the market that you're trying to break into. I was in this thing of, oh, well, my jewelry is for everybody. No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. There are some people that prefer jewelry that's cute and simple and it doesn't mean anything. And then there's other individuals that love things that have meaning to it. And I had to figure that out. I figured it out the hard way, but it was still something that I figured out. And
right.
Now you can't stop me. Now you can't stop me. So
right.
it's, okay, well, you don't like that, okay, I can go on to the next person.
Mm-hmm.
I've also learned that when profits dwindle and when they're non-existent, it's just a bad season. I learned that from being in the jewelry, I learned that people don't always buy jewelry every, you know, they don't buy jewelry every month.
Mm-hmm.
They buy it for special occasions. So when it comes to like birthdays, anniversaries, okay, I might get a couple sales once a month. Oh, it's on for birthday. Biggest time during the holiday season. Biggest time, springtime.
Right.
Everyone's getting ready for the summer. So you got to know your market. You have to know your industry. That's one thing that I definitely learned. I thought that I knew the jewelry industry. Oh, no, I did not. I did not. I had a big bubble burst.
Oh.
But it was okay because now I know the industry, and I might not be with all the high-end jewelry, but I know my industry, and that's what's important to me. I know
mm-hmm.
what high-end jewelry is selling for, and I also know what low-end jewelry is selling for. So definitely take the time to learn your industry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, after, of course, going through that, one of the things that I really like about your situation where you get to just – you were already home and you started this business on top of other businesses is that during those times where you have that lull – when you realize, you know, you watch the trends and you realize that everyone is not buying jewelry every day, but there are certain seasons that people are
mm-hmm.
purchasing. There are other things that you are doing to supplement that. Let's talk about the things that you found a way, the other passions that you have involved in supplementing your income when the season is not quite right, when everyone is not buying
yeah.
jewelry. What can we do to really add the other passions, because none of us are born with just one passion. Let's just
mm-hmm.
get that right out of the way, you know? and it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be born with so many creative things that you are able to do. And, of course, it's a blessing to be born with creative things that you do well. You can't do everything well,
mm-hmm.
but there are at least 2, 3, possibly 4 different things that you do well. So that when
yes.
one area is not moving as quickly, you can go over to the other area and try to balance it out. So your experience and opinion on that.
Oh, I love it because it's crazy because a couple weeks ago I went to an event and it's the first time I've ever heard it before, but it's called Multi-Passionate. And I learned it's okay. It's absolutely okay to be multi-passionate. And I learned about streams of income, various streams of income. When you have your own business, streams of income will become your best friend.
Yes.
For me, it has been, I write, so I've actually been working on a novella right now that I'm going to be self-publishing by the middle of this year. Probably sooner than that. I have a blog that I'm going to start monetizing pretty soon because it kind of coincides with the writing thing. I also take pictures, so photography takes care of, you know, other you know, little quick little bills. Like, oh, okay, so let me go to this photo shoot. We'll do this. We'll do that. So, what else? And I still do the beauty products every now and again. I have a couple people that do ask every now and again, like, hey, you know, could you make me some body butter? Sure, absolutely, not a problem. You know, let's do it. So
it is absolutely okay to, as you say, be multi-passionate especially when you're just strictly working from home.
Yeah, if you're strictly working from home, it's kind of a must. It really is. If you don't want to be, because you don't want to get stuck in that rut of nobody's buying. Okay, nobody's buying. I know that I have all my ducks in a row. Okay, maybe it's just a bad season right now. Let me move on to this. Mm-hmm. And it's not that you're abandoning, and I felt like that for a very long time. I felt like, well, mm-hmm. I'm abandoning, you know, the jewelry business if I'm working on my writing. I'm abandoning photography if I'm working on the jewelry business. What I'm, you know, but there comes a time where you just have to realize, like, these are embedded in you. These talents were given to you. You studied them and you practiced them. Don't let them fall to the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
Use them to leverage yourself. So, you know, I've heard people say, well, I already got my business cards and say this. Okay, then write on the back what else you do so they know. I'm
right.
a one-stop shop for all this. You don't have
right.
to worry about it. I got you. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's kind of come to that now where I'm starting to notice that a lot of new entrepreneurs are multi-passionate. They don't have just one business. They have multiple streams of income that they are
mm-hmm.
utilizing. So if you're a stay-at-home, you know, if you're a stay-at-home person, definitely look at all the things that you're passionate about. Not the things that you like, but those things that seriously get your blood pumping and they just get your mind racing. I mean, literally 2:00 in the morning, you just can't stop thinking about it. Write them down and figure out how you can make them, turn them into another stream of income for yourself, even if it's just freelance. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you keep talking about research, which is an excellent mm-hmm. thing. And one of the things that I like about research is that it doesn't necessarily have to include business research or management research. One of the things that I personally did was I researched my own family to kind of figure out where the passions and where some of the talents came from. And that was something that actually fueled me to find out that I was in an industry that 6 of my grandaunts were in, and I didn't even know that.
Wow.
Right. I was, you know, I'm a former cosmetologist. I was a cosmetologist for 25 years. And
okay.
it took me a long time when I was sitting and talking with my grandmother one day, and she was like, oh, yeah, you know, your other aunt, this aunt, this aunt, this. And I was like, wait a minute. How come nobody told me? Hold on.
Surprise.
That's not fair. And then I asked more about her, and she was saying, oh, yeah, I used to, you know, I sold dinners from the side of the house. I built an area where I sold dinners. I had a beauty salon up front for your aunt. I had a candy store on the other side. And I was like, oh, so being an entrepreneur is in our blood. It's not something that
oh,
you kind of just come up with. So sometimes I really like to tell our listeners, don't just research. Don't just go to the library and research what business is all about or business and talk with a consulting. Of course you
mm-hmm.
want to. It's a good thing. But take a look through your bloodline. Take a look through your family and see
mm-hmm.
if someone else already started something that you think you're starting, but you're probably continuing.
Yes.
And it made me feel so good to know that I'm actually continuing something, and it did bolster me forward. You know, even when I have those moments where I'm like, yeah, let's wrap this up. Yeah. Let's wrap this up, put on the sweatpants and move to an island where they just make loads and loads of butter almond ice cream and, you know, and I have my spoon ready.
there's no hitting the bottom with that one.
Right. Yeah, there will be no bottom hitting. In fact, somebody teach me how to make my own ice cream or something. But it was something that I can say really that really made me want to continue on the path that I was going on. And then I kind of rediscovered some things about myself that I still had passion for that I could actually combine with what
yes.
I'm doing. So
yes.
the importance of knowing where you come from, the people you come from, the talents
yes.
that are streaming through your family, because there are multiple talent streams, you know, just like you want multiple revenue streams. There are multiple
mm-hmm.
talent streams that run through your family that you should think about. It could be ministry. It could be writing, in all kinds of things. And I think that's a wonderful and excellent way to really start writing down where you come from and helping it, and have it help you move forward into what you're doing.
I love that. I'm definitely going to look into that because I know my father's a musician, and I think he wanted me to follow in his footsteps, but I couldn't. I, no. I'm not singing every now and again, but it's just not, it wasn't a passion. Love music, but I'm not passionate about creating music.
Mm-hmm.
But I had an aunt, and she passed away a while ago. God rest her soul.
Mm-hmm.
But I can remember how creative she was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was seriously one of those things that it's still, like, it's still embedded in me. And my mom even jokes about it sometimes. She's like, you act so much like her.
Wow.
Like, just the little things that I do at home with, you know, with my kids, or when it comes to making dinner, or even, you know, baking something, or even just the way that I do, I change my hair up all the time. She's like, you are her.
Right.
And to me, it's such a, it gives me chills, and it makes me proud. You know, it almost makes me feel like she's looking down on me, and I'm like, I'm doing good, right? I got this, right? Okay, I got this. So, and then even now, my daughter, she looks at me. She's only 8 years old, and she watches me make stuff and put stuff together that she'll go upstairs, and she'll come down for a notebook, and she's like, okay, Mom, I'm going to make this bracelet when I open up my jewelry shop. I said, when did this happen?
Right.
You know, so I definitely agree with that, and I love that. So
mm-hmm.
now I'm kind of anxious about looking into it more, because we have to build legacies, you know. And I
yes.
think some people get
yes.
they think like, oh well, it's money. No, it's not just money that mm-hmm. you want to build in your legacy. You also want to keep that creativity in your child. You want to keep that inspiration going and pass it down. So when they become adults, and they be like, you know what? My mom stayed up to 2 o'clock in the morning working on jewelry pieces.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't no excuse for me not to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's just to be able to pass that on. She doesn't have to make jewelry if she wants to. She already told me she wants to be a hairstylist, tattoo artist with her own salon / tattoo parlor. I said, go ahead, baby. We got this. Don't worry. So, that's why the jewelry business is still going, because my baby's got a dream. Mommy's got to make it happen.
I hear you. But now, that's another good thing to talk about. When it comes to especially passing something on as a legacy, when you're passing it on as a legacy, you don't just want to pass it on, but you also want to build on it. So did you take any classes? Do you encourage your child to take classes? When it comes to jewelry making, it's technical, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You do have a passion for it. Some people can just, you know, wake up, watch a YouTube video, and then start making fabulous jewelry. But there is that side where that speaks to staying educated about
mm-hmm.
what your passion is.
Oh, yes, yes.
Did you take some classes?
I still take classes, actually.
mm-hmm.
I still, you know, I still take them, because there are some techniques that are way beyond. I just look at them and I just say, no, I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Will I do it? I don't know. So it's just, you should always want to keep yourself educated, keep yourself up on the trends. And a lot of people, you know, I've had people say, well, they're just, you know, it's just stretchy bracelets. It's not that hard. No, that's not that hard. But when I do custom pieces, you know, some of these custom pieces are not easy, you know. And
right.
and even just learning how to apply the jump rings, or learning how to apply the lobster clasp. I know I'm talking jargon right now, but just learning
mm-hmm.
how to do those things is still, you know, it takes a lot of time. So, and you should always want to continue to educate yourself, so you can always be, you know, so you can always be ahead of the pack. So once I learn something new and I feel like I've mastered it, then I say, well, okay, well, now I can put it out there. Now I can start
mm-hmm.
putting new pieces together and, you know, kind of just baiting them a little bit, see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And if it gets, you know, if it gets a lot of feedback, then, yeah. Sometimes I started off with, when I really started the jewelry business, I started off painting earrings. I did hand-painted wooden earrings. Did that. Nobody liked it.
Wow.
Okay. Well, all right. That's fine. So then I did button earrings. They were literally made out of buttons with fabric and, I mean, I blistered my fingers so many times putting these suckers together. Nobody liked them.
Okay.
All right. And then I started doing the bracelets and, you know, putting the charms together and putting element, you know, every piece has like a little poem or something that's reflective of the name itself. So that's also how I can get my writing in too. It's my little scapegoat for writing. Like I am writing, I promise you. Writing the names of these pieces.
Nice. So, no, that's nice. It's a nice way to infuse both passions together, like we talked about.
Yes. Yes, and I take pictures of the product too, so I don't hire somebody else to come in and take pictures. All the, you know, all the pictures are mine, and I'm actually working on a lookbook. And in the summer, I'm gonna start getting some models together, modeling pieces, and being able to, you know, come take the pictures so I can add them to my portfolio and add them to the lookbook at the same time. And this year, I'm adding necklaces in because now I've spent more time learning how to put a necklace together from start to finish. I learned how to make my own hooks and ear wire and things like that. So it's just you have to stay educated. I think that's relevant in any industry, in any business. You have to stay on top of any new trends. You don't have to follow them per se, but you should at least be on top of them and be aware of them.
Truth, much truth. Again, if you're listening in, we've actually got like 8 minutes left for the show. Time just always moves so fast when we're talking. It just moves so fast. We've got 8 minutes left in the show, and if you want to call in and have a conversation about being an entrepreneur, if you have a question about starting a business, please feel free to call in 347-996-3160. Press the number 1 to let us know that you would like to talk with either myself, the host, or our guest, Pashe Burson, about starting, you know, turning your passion into profits. Now, let's move right on into that social media aspect of this whole thing, because it's still such a new media outlet for a lot of people, not for the big giants of media, but for a lot of people, they get on and they're still mixing their business and their personal together. Not realizing that your tone, your reputation, people are watching you.
Yes. And boy, are they ever. They may not be buying, but they are watching.
Yes. Yes, people are watching you, so it would behoove you to be careful about what you're posting, about things that you're answering to, watching your emotions. When you're on there, one of our previous guests said it best when she said Facebook is social media, it's not your diary.
Yeah.
So don't go putting all your business out there, because it can really affect your business.
Yes. It can, and Twitter can actually be just as bad. And I say that because I had an experience with an individual, and I had a TV show segment on a local show out here in the Chicagoland area, and I was shocked that they even found me. But they had actually found me based on a hashtag. So it's proof that hashtags work. Just for the record, hashtags work.
That's great.
They found me based on a hashtag that I kept using, and they said, the guy called me, and he was like, I would love to come and see you, you know, talk to you about your business. I was very excited about it, thrilled about it. Uh-huh. And the next day it aired. I was shocked to see that it aired so quickly, but the next day it aired. And not even 20 seconds after it was over, my Twitter went crazy.
Wow.
I was thinking, okay, you know, did a lot of people see it? You know, so I'm getting excited. I'm getting nervous at the same time, you know, because it's like, what am I going to do? How do I answer all this? But it wasn't on Uniku's Twitter. It was on my personal Twitter. So I'm reading the messages, and they weren't direct messages. These weren't private messages. This was like tagging and everything. Mm-hmm. And this individual was literally, she was like, you're a phony. you stole my stuff. And I'm like,
wow.
What? So yeah. I'm seriously like, okay, she's upset, but I don't know why. She was another jewelry designer that I knew, but mm-hmm. I didn't follow her work because she wasn't posting pictures or anything like that. I'd seen her Etsy shop a couple times, but I was just like, okay, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to respond to her. Even though it's my personal Twitter, I still think to myself, somebody else could see this. Anybody can see this, and they can track it back to, oh, that's the creator, Unico. Look what she said.
Right.
So I'm responding back to her, and I said, well, if you feel that I stole something, I would love to see proof. I said, you know, you can post it here if you want to. I said, go ahead. Prove it to me.
Right.
She refused to prove anything, but she kept calling me out of my name. She said I was sorry, that I was pathetic, and I'm just like, okay, well, if that's how you feel, I said, I would love it if you could prove to me where I sold something to yours. I said, because you make earrings, I make bracelets. They're two different things. So please show me, please show me where I'm copying off of you, where I'm stealing from you.
Mm-hmm.
So she went on to say that I took her copyright off of some of her stuff and posted it up as my own. I said, where? Please show me where I'm doing this. I said, because if I'm doing this, I want to be aware of it, or I'm sleeping when I'm doing this. I don't know what the problem was.
Well, you know what? That speaks to being prepared for the positive and the negative feedback
mm-hmm.
when you're on social media and how you handle it. It seems like you handle it well because you could have done and said all kinds of things. But as your business begins to grow, you will get people who think that you took their idea. You will get people who are just – who actually just point blank steal your stuff.
Yeah.
I found that to be very interesting. I was roaming one of my friends' page. I was answering something on the page, and I looked mm-hmm. up, and they had a friend who also answered on a different post, but their profile picture was a picture from one of my photo shoots.
Oh, no.
And I knew it wasn't the model. And I said, well, you know, mm-hmm. I didn't jump to conclusions. I thought that it was possibly the model's friend who just really liked her and she wanted to support her because you never know, you know, what happens in social media. So I contacted the photographer and the model, and I said, hey, do you know this person? Because, you know, your profile photo, or rather your photo is their profile photo, and I don't see any connections. I don't see that you're mutual friends or anything. I just wanted to mm-hmm. hit you to what this is. And sure enough, nobody knew this person. This person was overseas and was just using any picture in their profile picture as if they were that person. It was basically fraud to me.
And I, you know, and on another side to that is that sometimes you have to admit when you're wrong too. Recently, I have a writing blog too, and I had a picture up for, it's been up for about 2 years now, of this creature, and I thought it was, when I Googled it, that's the creature that I found, and I couldn't find the photo credit. I didn't find the photo credit, but mm-hmm. recently a guy commented on the photo. He said, this is my photo. He's like, and that's not, you know, that's not the creature that you say that it is. It's actually one of these.
Oh.
So I quickly enough, I commented back to him. I said, thank you so much for clarifying that up. I said, I apologize. I wasn't able to give you the photo credit that you deserve. And I said, I will make sure that I do it right now. And sure enough, I did. I went in, put big bold letters, correction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is what it is. This is who did it. And actually, he wrote me back, and he said, I'm really sorry. And I said, well, for what? He said, because I think I came off like a jerk. He said, I don't mind if you use it. And actually, coincidentally enough, he ended up giving me three pictures that mm-hmm. I needed. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you can use these anytime. And he's like, mm-hmm. you know, he's like, as long as you credit me for them, he's like, you can use them. So I was just, you know, it's like there's times when you're going to be right, there's times when you're going to be wrong, you know. And mm-hmm. on social media, you definitely have to be careful. Because even though we can separate our personal life from our business, sometimes people, sometimes other people can't.
Right. Right.
And that's the reality of it. I've seen it happen in negative ways too, where somebody that a lot of people adore and they look up to, like, you know, some of these YouTube gurus out there, that they get on social media and they lose their bearings with a fan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you have to be cautious, and yet I hate to say it, you got to walk a fine line. You definitely
yes.
have to walk a fine line.
Yes, which means, you know what, we never even touched on making sure you have legal counsel.
Oh, yes.
We never touched on that. We touched on that last week with Lakeisha, but I think it's worth saying again that if you're moving your passion into profits and you're starting a home-based business or any kind of business, even if you're starting very small, you want to be sure to have a conversation with a lawyer.
Yeah. Yeah.
For your own protection, for the protection of your
yes.
business, and just to be a little more knowledgeable about how a business runs on the legal side.
Yeah, and it doesn't hurt at all to even check with your what's the word I'm looking for? I'm trying to find it. Chamber of Commerce. It's definitely definitely work with your Chamber of Commerce. That's something that I'm starting to do this year as well. I didn't do it last year because I was in the process of moving, and we were in the process of relocating. But there's a lot of red tape. If you're a home-based business, I just want to put this out there, sometimes it's a lot of red tape that you have to go through to get your business registered as a home business. If you rent your home, you actually, in some cases, you actually have to get a letter from the landlord that states that it's okay for you to operate in your home.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're just doing an online business, okay,
mm-hmm.
yeah, but if you still get inventory coming into your home, guess what? That, you know, the landlord wants to make sure that, you know, that everything is up to par. So definitely, you know, reach out to a lawyer, get your, you know, even if it's a lawyer friend, just having some sort of knowledge of the, you know, of the technicalities and the legal side of your business is absolutely important.
Yes, yes. Well, you know what? Let's go ahead and bullet point, because we're over an hour now, but that's cool. Let's go ahead and bullet point this from the top of the conversation when we started off with, of course, doing your research and knowing your target market.
Yes.
We went into the difference between, you know, what happens when it's your passion and profit and the negative and the good and the bad, I should say. The good side of merging your passion and your profit, and the bad side of merging your passion and your profit, because it's personal.
Yeah.
You take things personal, you get emotional, and then you want to drop it and leave and eat ice cream all day. or you can really turn around and let it bolster you forward by knowing that you're very passionate about getting what you have, your product, out to the people that are looking for it. You got to connect with the people who are looking for what you have. We said something really good about not just researching business, but also researching your own family line, to see where your passions came from, because you could use
that
to also move you forward. And then, of course, you know, the regular lawyer, accountant, research pricing, how to set your pricing, be prepared for social media backlash and encouragement as well. There are so many things to be involved with and to do when it comes to taking a hobby or something you just love to do and turning it into a business. And we are so glad that you were able to come on and talk to us about it. So,
well, thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Sure, sure. Now, let me just tell everybody where they can find you. You can find Pache on Facebook at www.facebook.com/uniqueyoujewelry. Is that correct?
Right now, if you search it, Unique Jewelry, it'll definitely pop up. I'm actually in the process of revamping everything, because with the rename, the business was formerly called The Geisha Bar, and then I actually renamed it after a little bit of research. So you can definitely find it if you're on Facebook. Just search Uniku Jewelry, and it will be the first one that pops up right there. And feel free to like it, follow me there. I'm also on Twitter, Unico mm-hmm. Jewelry, and Instagram, Unico Jewelry as well.
Oh, I got to go find you on Instagram. I didn't even look for you over there.
Yeah, I'm over there, team.
Okay, okay. And to our listeners, Pache has given us a 15% discount on her custom bracelets.
Yes.
Which is excellent, excellent. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. and I think you just have to mention the word Bridal Tribe. Was that it?
Yeah, just mention the word Bridal Tribe with a custom bracelet. Just email me. Actually, email me at unikujewelry@gmail.com. And just mention Bridal Tribe in the subject. And we will brainstorm together and create you a custom bracelet.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Now, as you know, we are a company about love, beauty, wedding, and marriage fun. And, of course, we hope that this part was the marriage fun as well as just plain old fun to listen to with chat tonight. And we are devoted to love. Please visit us over on Facebook at Bridal Tribe Mag. Or just type in the word Bridal Tribe and you will see our business page come up. If you would like to know more about our radio show or be a guest on our show, go right on over to blogtalkradio.com/Bridal Tribe on Facebook and shoot us a message and let us know what you want to hear about, what you want to talk about. And we are happy to oblige. As of right now, we're going to go ahead and say goodnight. We're going to have this posted up soon, so please do take a listen. Let us know what you think about our shows, and we'll talk with you soon. We'll see you next week with our guest. Is Miss Dorsey coming on? I believe Miss Dorsey is coming on next week. Makaysha Dorsey of Dorsey Group, LLC, in public relations. She's going to come on and talk about all the things that you can do to get your business recognized when it comes to public relations, and I can't wait for that show. I'm very excited to have her on next week. We will see you then. We love you. Have a good night.